The world premiere of The Trial of Donna Cain is running through November 11th at the George Street Playhouse in New Brunswick, and we are thrilled to have one of the stars of the show. Flor de Lis Perez joins us. She plays the role of Donna Cain, who is a Marine Staff Sergeant. Thanks for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Hello, thank you for having me.
This is an intense two-act drama. And I know that the shows have already started last Friday, and I understand, first of all, the fans of the people who have showed up are loving this drama.
Yes, we have been blessed with some really responsive audiences. And Walter Anderson, our playwright, and David Saint, our director, they knew. They knew what they had on their hands, and the ensemble that David put together really brings this story to life in a very powerful way. Yeah.
So this is based somewhat on a true story that happened in Parris Island, South Carolina, and the playwright Walter Anderson, but he has changed the gender of some of the people involved. Can you give us a quick synopsis of what the play is about without, you know, ruining it for the audience?
Sure. So Walter had been working on a project researching about the Ribbon Creek incident, which happened in 1956. It was Staff Sergeant Matthew McCune. And that was a platoon of about 71, 72 young recruits that he marched into Ribbon Creek. There was panic that ensued. He wasn't familiar with the area, the tides, and there were ended up six recruits drowning. And so then there was the court martial that happened, and a huge thing that took place in the Marine Corps in terms of after that incident and the national attention it received. So as Walter was working on this, he wanted to make it into a play. And, he tells the story about how one day it just wasn't kind of clicking necessarily. And one day he woke up and he was like, oh, how about if, Ribbon Creek hadn't happened then, it happened now. And if it was a female, and looking at gender integration in the Marines and just exploring, kind of cracking that open. So now the play itself, so it takes place now. Donna Cain, myself, is the staff sergeant, and it is a gender integrated platoon that's marched into the creek. And there are five recruits who drown. And so then Emily Zola Ginsburg, who's actually, her name is inspired by the real attorney who defended Matthew McCune, and that was Emil Zola Berman. So Emily Zola Ginsburg, so he also changed, that attorney into a female. She's a liberal Jewish New York lawyer who comes down south and wants to take a, is prompted to take a look into this case. And upon her encounter with Donna, senses that there's something here. And these two women then proceed on this journey, going through, going to court, going through the trial. And it's this journey of justice, but really also about forgiveness and learning to kind of see past your perceptions of someone. Yeah.
We know that people love courtroom dramas. We see it on TV. We see it everywhere, right? What is it about a courtroom drama that you think that gets people, they really can either relate to the characters, they can relate to the people who are on trial or those who are being accused, whatnot. Why do you think that they're so successful?
I think it's drama in the deepest sense unfolding before your eyes, and people like to make opinions. People like to try and see if they can get ahead of the story or, they love underdogs, love the sense of justice, of truth, of, there's these figures. I feel like it's very Greek in its scope, And it's things that are at stake, there's high stakes. And I just think that people find that very riveting,
So I know you always have to do research for a role, but when it comes to playing a Marine staff sergeant, how difficult was that for you?
Well, I was not doing 32 pull-ups a day.
And neither was I.
I was imagining I could. I was watching a lot of videos in terms of what boot camp was actually like. And there's a number of YouTube channels that have very detailed, kind of very intimate looks into that world. So I was looking up boot camp, was listening to interviews with recruits, listening to interviews with drill instructors, doing a little bit of reading about the actual requirements as to what Donna's journey would have been from a recruit herself to then staff sergeant. And Walter had given us, everyone in the cast, very detailed biographies. That included some of her combat experience as well. So really just trying to get a feel for who this woman is, what she would have gone through in her life, coming from a line of Marines herself, and then doing research on the Marine Corps and that sense of that pride, integrity and love that so many servicemen have. So it was really trying to get the mentality as well, because she puts the Corps like above herself. And that's also something that she defends. So really trying to understand Donna and her loves and what she holds most dear. And that included, just getting a little deeper sense into the Marine Corps itself and this experience of boot camp.
I know I'm personally really looking forward to seeing the trial of Donna Kane, which will be running through November 11th at the George Street Playhouse. We're speaking with Flor de Lis Perez, who plays the Marine Staff Sergeant Donna Kane. My father, Spike Doyle, is a Marine. Once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine,
exactly,
right?
Exactly,
so yes. I used to get to hear the stories about Paris Island and places like that. So, this is very interesting to me. And also, I also knew that I could never be a Marine after hearing, the training that goes in. It's just not who I am. I don't think I could have ever handled it.
Mm-hmm.
As you go through this, what have you learned about the military that maybe you didn't either appreciate or didn't know before?
Mm. I didn't realize truly just like the history of the Marines and how at first, in 1775, November 10th, 1775, we're coming up, I think, on the 243rd anniversary of the creation of the Marines. And at first how they were there to assist, the Army and the Navy and then became their own fighting force, and just researching about the battles, that our country has gone through, and coming to know some of the important figures. This was a history that I didn't really know. We didn't go into this in school, so I have a deep appreciation, for the Marines, for our servicemen, for the history. for the sacrifices.
This cast, just like so many other shows that have been performed at the George Street Playhouse, filled with stars, filled with veterans of stage, screen, television. John Bolger is back. I think this is his seventh performance at the George Street. But this is all new for you to be at the George Street, right?
It is. It is. And it's such a treat. I know right now they're in the barn, the farmhouse. But before that, it's been a 45-year history of great productions and great work. So it's a real delight and joy to kind of finally be a part of this. And John Bolger, actually, funny story, he and I are alumni of the same university. So he attended Bucknell University back in the day, and that's where I went to school.
And he played sports. Did you play sports too?
Yeah. I, not in college. In high school, I did tennis and track and marching band. So some of the drill formations, you know, for the Marines, I'm like, oh, that looks a little bit like our morning marching band routines.
Yeah, I was also in the marching band myself, so I know exactly what you're talking about. What instrument did you play?
I played clarinet.
I played tenor sax, so.
Nice.
We're speaking with Flor de Lis Perez as the trial of Donna Kane is running at the George Street Playhouse. Let's talk. You mentioned a couple of people in the cast. Let's give us a sense of what it's been like working, and then we'll talk a little bit about the wonderful director, David Saint. But the cast first. How interesting has it been working with this crew?
Oh, everyone's a dream. They really are. They really are. We were rehearsing the show in New York because David had a piece going on at Cherry Lane, and so we didn't have to commute to New Jersey, so we stayed in the city. And every day, everyone just came to the room with open hearts, you know, and really ready to work and be present to each other. And that's such a gift. It's so funny because if you look back and the rehearsal process just flew by, I don't know where it went. But that's really one of my favorite parts is the rehearsal process and piecing this together and everyone just bringing their A game, you know, and being so generous with each other.
You had mentioned to me before we started the interview that you are friends with Brandon J. Durden, who we've had on the WBGO Journal many times. I liken the fact that you enjoy doing serious shows, and he does too. You're both, I would imagine, extremely intense people. I know about your experiences and knowing and doing Shakespeare. How do you take your love of Shakespeare? Did it help at all in this play?
Yes, absolutely. I think you are kind of a quilt work, a patch of, you know, past experiences and works, and I feel like everything I've worked on, it kind of, you know, just it changes and forms you a little bit more as a person, as an artist. So in terms of working on Shakespeare, I remember being in grad school, and our vocal teacher Bonnie Raphael at UNC Chapel Hill just saying how Shakespeare demands a size and a depth and a truth, you know, which expects and demands of the performer to really kind of grow and expand into these characters and this language, and so that and really kind of trying to, as opposed to shrinking, you know, you bring yourself to everything, but you don't necessarily shrink it down to meet you. You know, you have to kind of rise to meet it. And in a way, it's this quilting. So for this role and this play, it is Shakespearean in its size, you know, because there's this grief, there's this guilt, there's frustration, all these things that Donna's going through. It's a situation in which she'd never thought she'd find herself, would never want to find herself, and yet here she is. It's, you know, in terms of identity being kind of stripped away, left on her own. It's Shakespearean in its scope.
What is it about director David Saint? He has such a wonderful reputation of bringing out the best in actors. What has he done for you in this show?
Yes. Oh, he trusted us. Yeah, he trusted me, and that's a beautiful gift that you can give an actor in the room, you know. And he had kind of the right touch of guiding gently, but would see what you were bringing and kind of step back and just let you work and bring that out. And if it was not the right kind of degree or touch or whatever, he would just kind of nudge you in one direction or the other. But really, working with him, I got the sense that he very much just trusted us and trusted the process. And yeah, it's really a gift. Mm-hmm.
Before Bucknell University, before the London Dramatic Academy, before UNC Chapel Hill, before the Royal National Theatre in London, there was this little gal who mom said, read.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first book that you remember that you really enjoyed?
Oh, wow. I remember reading a lot. But I think two of my favorite books that I remember very early on, one was Ming Lo Moves the Mountain, and then another one was, it was actually like a Chinese retelling / adaptation of Little Red Riding Hood. And I remember being so struck by the illustrations, you know, and I just feel as a kid, oh my gosh, so spoiled, because I feel like we had the best books. Yeah, those are two of my fave. Oh, and then there was also one about the teacher who, there was a substitute, she was sick one day and like her class was super unruly and rowdy, and there was a substitute teacher who came, and she was, you know, all dressed in black, and the kids thought she was a witch, and she was super mean, and they were like, oh, we miss our regular teacher. And then at the very end, you find that that was the teacher dressed as, you know, to make them.
Lovely story, right? You gotta love that one.
I forget the name of it, though. Yeah.
So everybody that has performed catches the theater bug. Did you catch it all the way back when you were a penguin in an elementary school play?
I did indeed.
Tell us about that.
That was about the South Pole. Oh, sorry, the North Pole. It was the North Pole and Mrs. Eilers. Oh, man, that was at PS131 in Queens. That was like our music concert. And it was, oh, dear. Well, the story, something was going wrong at the South Pole and the penguins. We were there. We had to help Santa. We had kazoos. My mom helped me make my felt beak and my, you know, my tuxedo bill. I loved that school, and that really opened me up to play. Yeah.
Those who watch the CBS dramas like Madam Secretary, The Good Wife, Blue Bloods, you have seen Flor de Lis Perez. She's been in all of those shows. Being live, there's nothing better than that, right? Uh-huh. Being on stage.
Yes. It's a different journey. I mean, I love film and TV. So the screen, that's a medium that I'm actually continuing to explore and get accustomed to, and working with the camera and seeing everyone on set. It's amazing. But in live theater, you know, you're responsible for the journey from beginning to end with a live audience, and you're there interacting and feel it, like feeding off of them, you know, as opposed to something happening once, a couple times, and then it's on the editing room floor. You know, here it's live every day. And that's a muscle, you know, and I really do love it.
You're, you know, a military female, mm-hmm. right? And there's lots of controversy that still surrounds, you know, women in the military and the rights they have. Mm-hmm. Do you feel extra pressure in portraying this role that you're representing that?
I feel a great responsibility for really doing justice to not only kind of the memory of Staff Sergeant Matthew McCune, you know, so I feel like the element of his story is very much here. So doing justice to him, but then also, yes, like doing justice to, you know, the Marine Corps and to our, you know, our fellow Marines. We've actually had several Marines come to see the show. And so, you know, Walter brings them backstage and you're just like, oh Lord, I hope I did you proud. I hope I did okay. I hope, you know, that there was not a false note and that the journey resonated.
And what's been the most interesting comment you've got from a Marine after the show?
Oh man, you know, I've gotten that they believe me, that they believe it.
And that's the highest compliment.
That's the highest compliment. You know, there was one, there was actually a captain who came and she said, what did she say? Oh, she said, you know, you have, she said, you have like better kind of posture and discipline and carriage, not even having gone through like boot camp. You know, she's like, I could see you being a recruit. I could see you being. So I was like, oh man, okay, great.
We're speaking with Flor Deliz Perez, who plays the Marine Staff Sergeant Donna Kane in The Trial of Donna Kane. The play runs through November 11th at the George Street Playhouse. You spend a lot of time with the 52nd Street Project, kids 9 through 18 in the Hell's Kitchen area. Why do you do it?
You know, and that's also something instilled in me by my mom, I feel, just like the service and giving back and contributing. You know, I feel like I've been gifted and blessed with so much, and so being able to incorporate and like share that love and really and be present to others, like that is kind of the real work of life, you know. And so the 52nd Street Project, I really love them and love their work so much. I've been volunteering there since I was out of grad school. And that, you know, it's so easy to kind of get into an actor bubble and just be like, oh, my work is everything and just be there. But working with them keeps my feet on the ground, you know, keeps me focused on what's important. And these kids are incredible. You know, the stories, the voices that come out of them, they're truly powerful. And so I feel any chance to nurture and instill confidence, you know, and instill or not even really instill, but like to help bring out what the gifts that they have is just so important and so valuable. I mean, they're our future generation, you know, so it's you gotta give back.
And I'm sure they get inspiration from you each and every day. When a lot of people that have made comments about you have talked about how you seem to light up the room, not only with your amazing presence, but the way you conduct yourself.
Thank you. It's so funny actually, because last night we were talking in the dressing room about, and this was among some of the women there, about seeing actors come in for auditions. And Melissa Maxwell, you know, she made the comment, you know, to be the gem. And so you come into a room and this is what I also love about this play. Like everyone has a story. Everyone has a history. Everyone has a past. Everyone has some. It just comes in a full human, you know. So why not go in and encounter and be present and open to the people who are with you in the room and kind of get out of your own way and just be present for others.
I would imagine one of the beauties of The Trial of Donna Kane that runs through November 11th at the George Street Playhouse is that everyone can relate to one of those characters, or just it's an emotional drama that people can just kind of eat up.
Oh, yes. It's a page-turner. I mean, like, as a play, it's a page-turner. And Walter and David and were really open to kind of collaboration. And so they could see as we were working along parts or lines or things that didn't kind of sit right on the actors or just things that weren't clicking. So they would shroop, 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 come in and shroop, shroop, little cuts and things here and there. And so seeing it live, it moves. It moves. And a lot of our audiences have just said, oh, gosh, I felt like they felt like they couldn't catch their breath because it was, it just keeps you on the edge of your seat, I think.
That's exciting. Take us backstage. I've always wanted to know, in a two-act serious drama like that, what are you thinking about? How much are you staying in character at the break before the second act starts?
Yes. Okay. So we have a 15-minute break. And I think there's something that happens as you continue doing a show where you mentioned pressure before. I still feel a tremendous amount of pressure or responsibility, or sometimes there's a little fear, of course, where you really want to just give everything and then just and do it well, you know, be out there and do it well. So backstage, I think something that starts to happen over the course of the run is kind of that pressure lessens a little bit because your body starts to carry more of the story, own more of the story. So as opposed to spending like 10 minutes, you know, preparing, sitting in silence, then it's like, okay, five, because you start to figure out what you need to take with you out there on stage. So now what happens backstage, you know, I still 5 minutes till we'll go sit in a corner and breathe and just kind of get myself ready. But in those 10 minutes before, I'm changing my shirt, you know, I'm putting my jacket on, saying hello to the ladies in the dressing room. Our crew is actually backstage doing planks. So they're doing like a minute and a half planks, and then they're doing push-ups. So sometimes we'll play that I'm like actually the drill sergeant, or you know, yesterday actually Margarita, my co-star, and I got down and did the planks with them. So it's they're an awesome crew. So yeah, there's always something different going on backstage.
When people ask me about theater in New Jersey, I always mention the George Street Playhouse, and I also mention Two River Theater in Red Bank, and you've done a couple of shows there. I've seen you in El Coqui Espectacular and The Bottle of Doom. I was in the audience for your performance there. So is this, being the fact that you live in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you do theater here in New Jersey, it really shows the quality that you talked about David Sain having his rehearsals in New York, of the actors who are participating in area theater here in New Jersey. It's wonderful, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Both George Street and Two River, bring incredible artists to the stage, you know, and not only actors, but also designers and everyone that's working on a show. I really, you know, Two River Theater was my first regional gig out of grad school. So I did a show there six, 7 years ago. And it was Madeline George's Seven Homeless Mammoths Wander New England. And the experience was unforgettable. And John Diaz, Stephanie Cohen, Michael Hurst, like everyone at that theater, from top to bottom, I adore. And all the artists that work there, you know, you'll hear them say that as well. And now, you know, George Street, I'm so happy to get to know everyone there. And it's quality work. It's quality work done by really open-hearted, beautiful people who care about the craft, who care about the work, who care what they're bringing to their audiences.
I have a feeling we're going to see Flor-De-Lise Perez in another production at some point at the George Street Playhouse. As Marine Staff Sergeant Donna Kane, what's the role after this that if I said you could have any role of any show that you want to have, what would it be?
Oh, man. That's a good one. What would it be? I working on Donna is still working. I feel like I'm still doing research and still learning about her. She's really a dream role, and for so many reasons. But I think I would have to continue with the strong, kind of strong-willed woman. And I would love either like Joan of Arc or Mary, Queen of Scots. I would love to do like a historical drama. Yeah,
that sounds wonderful. Yeah, well, let's campaign for that.
Sure.
Now, you were born in the Dominican Republic. When did you mm-hmm. actually, but you were raised in Queens. When did you come to Queens?
I actually came to, I think it was Orange, New Jersey first for a hot second when I was four. So we were out here. I remember the Bergen line.
So you were a Jersey gal for a little bit.
For a little bit, yeah. and then we moved to Queens. Yeah. So I was about four when I came to the States. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the fact that you had training in London. You know, there are so many great actors who come from London, so many shows. What have you taken from the Royal National Theatre in London that made you, you know, hone your craft a little bit more. Is there a difference there? Do you see how people treat theater or is not, or is it just reputation? What is it about London theater?
Well, you know, so I actually worked at the National 3 years ago. So that was amazing, carrying a lead role on the Littleton stage in Rufus Norris's first season as artistic director. And that was like just huge bucket list. You know, I can't even. But then when I trained in London as, you know, as a college student, that was really the experience that made me say, okay, I'm doing this as a career. You know, this is going to be what I dedicate myself to, theater and acting. Because working at the London Dramatic Academy, which was actually, we had British professors and they were American students. So we had lots of working actors as our teachers. And they were also teaching at other, you know, other places like RADA, et cetera. But being in that conservatory training and seeing how, first of all, how beautifully they worked, how beautifully they embodied characters and just this really deep, intelligent, connected way of interpreting work, interpreting characters. You know, I left that experience and I was like, I was in love before, now I'm really in love. And and I think the main thing I took away from that was just the responsibility of when you are given a character, a play, you know, a person to embody, the responsibility it takes of making sure your instrument, you know, is up to the challenge, is working on all cylinders go, imagination, research, intellect, you know, vocal, physical, like just everything needs to be working. So, yeah.
Let's say there's only 5 seats left for one show at the George Street Playhouse for the Trial of Donna Kane, and your family's already been there and they've seen it. Who are the 5 people you are inviting that have to be at this show to see you before it closes?
Who are the 5 people?
Or just a few.
Yeah. Okay, the 5 people. Oh. Okay, I would... It's so funny because all my important 5 came already, my family. But okay, who else will come? Okay, so I would love for my brother to come. He hasn't come yet. I would love for my brother to come. I would love for my movement teacher from grad school, Craig Turner, to come. It's so funny because I remember my very first year starting class with him, and you know he picked up and kind of saw like how little space I was taking, and you know just he would get on me about being like too kind of quote-unquote nice, you know, but in a like really kind of like deflecting way. And he was just, he and I remember we butted heads that first year, and then by the third year I loved him so much, and he really because I think he saw the kind of like strong leading lady and wanted to bring her out. So I would love for him to see kind of how far I've come. I guess my 2 best friends from college, Kim Linton and Rita Schlanger, that would be awesome for them to see this as well. Yeah.
Kim and Rita, right?
Yeah.
So what do you want Kim and Rita to be talking about as they leave the theater, other than the fact, the wonderful performance from you, but the actual show? What do you want them to be discussing on the way home from watching The Trial of Donna Kane?
I would love for them to be discussing the fragility of... Oh, man, I guess the fragility of humanity. That's a pretty big thing. But, you know, the fragility of humanity and walking away with a sense of openness. Yeah, openness to maybe taking a look at someone across the divide that they might get a, that they might open their hearts a little bit maybe to hearing them.
I can tell that you enjoy just as much when it comes to drama. You enjoy laughing and having a good time. And David Sane actually is able to put some comedy within the serious drama. You almost have to when it's that intense, right? And you're on your seat. But we're so thrilled that you came in to talk to us about the trial of Donna Cain. Flor-De-Lis Perez, continued success. And we look forward to seeing more of you, not only at the George Street, but everywhere else that you'll be performing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.